We're going to start the story with the term tithing. The term tithing can be very deceiving in the world today. Christians will use the term tithing, they'll use the term giving interchangeably, not really thinking much about the difference. Or where did we get this word tithe from, and what does it mean? Well, it means a tenth. It means to give a tenth. Well, should we be giving a tenth? And do we need to give a tenth? Do we have to give a tenth? What if we don't give a tenth? What if we give a twelfth? What if we give 1%, 4%, 12%? What are we supposed to be doing as believers in Christ? This is a question that can come up. Maybe 2 years ago I talked about giving. And so maybe every 2 years we'll sort of get a proper perspective on giving, make sure that we're okay there. Well, there's some verses about tithing in what some people would refer to as the New Testament. I would say, let's be careful now, we're in the Gospels. New Testament living as the New Testament church has not occurred yet in the Gospels. Jesus has not died and been resurrected. Pentecost has not occurred yet in the Gospels. So therefore, we're not in New Testament living as we are today. Instead, Jesus is talking to Jews who are still under the law. So we're going to examine some verses. The first three verses are the only mentions of tithing in the Gospels. You're going to get from Matthew to Revelation, every verse that uses the word tithe you're about to see. They total four. The first three verses are the only mention of tithing in the Gospels, and the last scripture passage is the only mention of tithing in any of the New Testament epistles. So we'll go to Matthew 23 and Luke 11. He says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for here's what you're doing. You're tithing mint and dill and cumin, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith." In other words, you're opening your wallet, you're contributing this and this and this, but look what's missing. Justice and mercy and faith, these are what he calls the heavier, the weightier matters of the law, the more important ones. So he's actually pushing giving to the side here, and he's saying there's something more important than money. "It is these you ought to have practiced without neglecting the others." Then the second mention of tithing in the Gospels, Luke 18, 12 to 14. A Pharisee says, "Well, Jesus, you know, I mean, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income." And then Jesus says, "But the tax collector, who was standing far off, would not even look up to heaven. He was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man," the tax collector, "went down to his home justified rather than the Pharisee. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Who was exalting himself? The Pharisee. Why? Because of the amount he was giving. "Look, I do this, and I do this, and I do this. And by the way, I give a tenth. Look at me, look at me." And Jesus is saying, that person is not going to be right with God, because he's all puffed up. He's all puffed up about how much he gave and what he did, and he's all puffed up about works. So the conclusion then, here's Jesus' thoughts on tithing. The first two verses, he tells the Pharisees they're overemphasizing tithing. The third verse, a Pharisee's mistakenly trying to justify himself by tithing. There we have it. All of the passages about tithing from the Gospels. Now, the only mention of tithing in all of the New Testament epistles, that means from Romans all the way to Jude, all of these epistles, these letters to the church about Christian living, Acts and Revelation also included in this, there's only one mention of the word tithe anywhere. It's Hebrews 7, 2-9. We're going to be introducing a character here, and it's really important to understand who this character Melchizedek is. Here's who Melchizedek is. Nobody knows. That's who Melchizedek is. Melchizedek received a couple of verses of attention in the Old Testament, and he was a mystery man. You're going to see here, Abraham meets Melchizedek on a lonely road. And Abraham does something. He does something uncommon. He does something weird. He does something that Jews cannot explain. Abraham kneels down and hands Melchizedek a tenth of his money, a tenth of his wealth. He pays homage to this priest, Melchizedek. Now, pardon me, but is the law in effect yet? I think it comes about 430 years later, right? So there's no law, there's no priests, there's no sacrificial system that's been instituted by Moses. This is Abraham, and he stops on a lonely road and addresses someone and gives them a tenth. What is this about? Jews cannot explain this. Melchizedek was not in the order of Levi. Melchizedek was not in the order of Aaron. Melchizedek was not a Levitical priest. Melchizedek was 400 and some years too old to be a priest, according to the law. It says here in Hebrews, "And to him Abraham apportioned one-tenth of everything. His name in the first place means King of Righteousness. Next, he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. And those descendants of Levi who receive the priestly office have a commandment." They're actually told to collect tithes from the people, that is, from their kindred, though these also are descended from Abraham. So what's he saying? He's saying, yeah, giving a tenth 400 years later was pretty normal. Giving a tenth 400 years later was normal because Moses said to do so, because God told Moses that Israel should. But 400 years before this, to do this, now that's odd. That is really odd. What is the purpose of giving a tenth 400 years later? To support a tribe. There was a special tribe of Israel called the Levites. And guess what? They weren't allowed to own their own clothing. They weren't allowed to own their own homes. They weren't allowed to have possessions. They weren't allowed to have anything that they called their own. And so the purpose of giving a tenth was to support that special priesthood. Now, if I were to turn around, or if any pastor or Christian leader were to turn around and say, well, today we need to give a tenth, well, then guess what? By that same law, I should have no clothing, no home, no car, and no belongings. Because if I'm going to teach tithing, teach the law, I need to also live by the law. So what we see here is the following. This man, Melchizedek, look what it says, who does not belong to their ancestry, collected tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had received the promises. So in the one case, tithes are received by those who are mortal, and the other by the one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham. So what is he saying? 400 years later, yeah, you're giving tithes to humans. But this Melchizedek, he's a mystery. I don't know where he came from. I don't know where he ended up. I don't know what town he died in. I don't know how he died. I don't know his mom or his dad's name. I don't know anything about him. And neither does any Jewish scholar, because there's no information on him. He had no beginning and no end. Many people think that this Melchizedek was an early appearance of Christ. And so what he's saying here is, guess where Levi is? Remember the priests that started everything? Aaron and Levi and that family line? Guess where they are in this story 400 years before? Well, Levi and Aaron, they're in the loins of Abraham. In other words, they're through Abraham, they receive life. So in a sense, this is what he's saying, in a sense, Levi and Aaron and all those Levitical priests are paying homage to this priest, Melchizedek, who probably doesn't even sound like he comes from the same country as Abraham. He's probably not even Jewish. We have no reason to believe that this man is anything but a Gentile, at least according to the flesh. So we have Abraham paying homage to someone who has no papers, no credentials, according to the law. Why is he doing this? There's a foreshadowing here. There's a foreshadowing of a priest that has nothing to do with the law. There is a foreshadowing of the priest, Jesus Christ, who has nothing to do with the Levitical priesthood, nor with any regulation or rule in the law. This is really intense, deep stuff if you grab a hold of this. If you see what's happening here, you'll understand once and for all why you cannot mix 1 ounce of Moses with 1 ounce of Jesus. If you do, you have dismissed Jesus as an unqualified priest. Jesus is unqualified according to Moses. Conclusion. Tithing in Hebrews. This verse tells a story. It's a history. It recounts the fact that Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. The point is that Abraham honored Melchizedek's priesthood, even though Melchizedek was outside of the Levitical line. That's it. You've seen the whole New Testament's mention on tithing. That's it. One verse in one epistle. Does it command you to tithe? Far from it. It tells a history story. That's it. Christ's priesthood is through Melchizedek, not through the Levitical priesthood. The main point, you can't mix Jesus with the law. This passage in no way implies that the tithe is intended for New Testament believers. So then you say, well then what? I mean, we're left without a standard. We're left without a hoop to jump through. We're left without a goal. How much should we give then? When am I going to give to be okay? Well, it's kind of exciting, really. I'm pretty excited about it. New Testament giving is this: give according to the need, give according to what you have. And it actually says, not according to what you don't have. I was just in Virginia visiting my family. My sister, she and her husband, they're going through rough times financially. And they have been giving 10%. And they've really, really felt a pressure to continue to give 10%. But at the same time, they're struggling. They're stressed out emotionally. And, you know, some people that they've hung out with have been telling them, if you just keep giving, it'll come back to you. If you just keep giving and giving and giving, it'll multiply back to you. And I had a chance through that week to talk with her a little bit and say, you know what, God's not counting how much you give. God's not chalking up, okay, you gave the 10%. God actually cares about your stress. He cares about your family. He cares about how things are. And you might want to reconsider, given the fact that God's saying give according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. We're going to see some pretty amazing words in here. We're going to see that you're supposed to give, but not out of pressure. We're going to see that you give voluntarily. We're going to see that you give according to what you're comfortable with financially, what you have, not what you don't have. Acts 4, it says, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Now, this was an unusual situation. I mean, the early church, I mean, they were really depending on each other. I mean, they were living together in tight quarters. They were getting together every single day for teaching and Bible study, so to speak, and prayer and all of that. And they were a tight-knit community, and they were taking care of each other's financial needs. And it says there was not a needy person among them. So what does that tell you? People gave according to the need, right? Now, look at 2 Corinthians 8. It says, if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. What's a characteristic of God-giving, of God-motivated giving? If the eagerness is there, are you eager to give? Well, then it's of God. If you're like, oh man, well, I really should, but gosh, I just hate this. Does that sound like eagerness to you? It says, if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. What does it say about the gift? It says it's acceptable, like God accepts this. He says, yes, this was from the heart. This was what you wanted to do. This was an expression of Christ. The eagerness was there. The gift is acceptable. And guess what? You gave not because you were pressured to. You gave because of what you had and you saw a need. And it wasn't a killer. It wasn't stressful. It wasn't overwhelming. It wasn't under compulsion. The other things we'll see about giving here, we're actually going to see the word pressure in here. And this is, for many people, they maybe unconsciously give out of a pressure, or even consciously give out of a pressure, because of pressure-filled instruction about giving. But look at what Paul says in 2 Corinthians. He's talking about money here, and he's talking about distributing money where there's need. And he says, I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you. Like, don't outgive yourself here. Don't give so much that then you're under pressure. See, that's my sister right there. You see that? She's giving so much that then she's under pressure, right? I do not mean that there should be relief for others and then pressure on you. But it's a question of what? A fair balance between your abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance, right? So what he's saying is make sure you're not giving outside of what you can give and get yourself in trouble financially. 2 Corinthians 9:5. Now, I love this passage because what I see here is I see Paul's mind just really cranking. I mean, he's thinking, what are the possible consequences of my actions? He's thinking, okay, I'm getting ready to visit these Corinthians, and they've talked about a gift for me, and I do need support. I need missionary support. But at the same time, gosh, I know how much they respect me, and I don't want to show up and sort of say, hi, the gift. Where's the gift, right? Because then guess what they're going to feel? Well, I mean, he's standing right here in front of me. I mean, it's a little intimidating, right? Look at it. I thought it was necessary to urge the brothers. These are other people with him. I urge them, you go on ahead. You go on ahead to the Corinthians and arrange in advance for this gift that they've promised. Why? So that it can be ready as a voluntary gift and not as an extortion. He's afraid that he'll be so intimidating, that he's so respected in their minds, that it'll come across as an extortion, because they just sort of feel on edge around him and sort of give beyond their means. You see what Paul does here? I mean, he is going the extra mile to communicate something to these Corinthian Christians. He is going overboard to say, make sure this is voluntary. You know what? I don't even want to. You just give to the brothers whatever you decide in your own heart. I don't even want to talk about it ever again. That's what he's saying. Isn't that cool? I mean, this is the Apostle Paul. He's given a great model for attitudes for churches. And he says, go ahead, give as a voluntary gift. I don't even want to be involved in it psychologically. New Testament giving. We also see not reluctantly, not under compulsion. This is the passage that Chip was mentioning earlier. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind. That means God's going to let you use your mind. God wants you to use your mind. That means you get to decide. You get to think it through. You get to look at your situation. You get to say, what's the need here? What's the amount that I have here? How are my finances going? Can I give according to what do I have? Or am I giving beyond that? Not reluctantly. There's a phrase. Like, don't hold back. Don't be selfish. That's not Christ. But at the same time, not under compulsion. You see that attitude? I mean, he's lasered in on the attitude. Not holding back, but not under pressure either. Giving actually is a spiritual gift. In Romans 12, it says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. You see all these spiritual gifts. Some people actually have the gift of giving. Like giving financial support, their attitude is constantly there. It's what flows out of them. It's natural for them. It's normal for them. And some people have these gifts. And we don't know who they are. I mean, some people are giving just because they decide to, because they want to support. And then some people are giving because they decide to, they want to support, and they have this spiritual gift, and it's just sort of easy for them. It's not easy for me. I don't have the gift of giving. I have the gift of spending. Another important point is that we're not justified in God's sight through giving money. Now, this should be obvious, but what we have to realize is that the idea of giving a certain amount in order to be okay in God's eyes, that's a concept, but it's a legalistic concept. It's a law concept. And the Bible in Romans 3, it says, no human will be justified by deeds prescribed by the law. So, what is it that the law prescribed? 10%. What if you give 9? You're okay. What if you give 0? You're okay. What if you give 1? You're okay. It doesn't change your status. It doesn't change your standing. It doesn't change your okayness with God. That's the beauty of being in Christ. I mean, what if you didn't have anything? You'd still be okay. I mean, what about people who literally don't have anything to give? Are they just as righteous and okay in Christ as you are? You bet. So, obviously, there's nothing that can come out of us, whether it's money or works or anything that we can do that's going to increase our status with God. At the same time, there's some kind of reason that the church functions. And I guess it just really boils down to everybody living from the heart and from the mind. From the mind and from the heart. Another important point is that God does not bless us because we give. Now, I know I'm treading on thin ice here. I know that some people might express it this way. They might say, well, God does bless me because I give. Well, let's look at Romans 11 and see what it says here. It says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him to receive a gift in return? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. You see that? What he's saying is you can't buy blessing from God. I mean, that's just another deception. Do you know what that is? It's basically the prosperity gospel masked as tithing or giving. If you give enough money, then you're going to get some back. What would be somebody's motivation for giving then? Well, I want something, so I'm going to give. You have to pay in this world. You have to pay for stuff. I'm going to pay for a blessing from God, or I'm going to pay so that he'll give me back threefold. Or some people would say, well, no, in my church you get sevenfold. Well, in my church you get ninefold. Well, I'm coming to your church. Right? So, the bottom line is that there was someone who wanted to purchase the Holy Spirit in Acts. It's like, how much do you want for the Holy Spirit? Paul's like, you can't buy the Holy Spirit. Today, it's how much do you want to give for a blessing? Can you afford it? Because if you can, boy, it's worth it. You just give and he'll give right back to you. Now, there's satisfaction in giving. We don't want to say there's not. There's a joy in giving if it's from the heart. There's a satisfaction in giving. There's also, man, I'm a part of something. I'm a part of something because I'm giving towards this hope, this dream, this vision, and it's the gospel, and I'm giving towards it. So I'm a part of it, and I love being a part of something. And the New Testament talks about that, but it's not the same as paying money in order to get something, like a gift or a blessing. Ephesians speaks of blessing. It says, blessed be the God and Father. And it says, he's blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. Is this past tense? Is this future tense? Is this maybe or might? It says, he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That means, guess what? There's not another spiritual blessing that you can get. even for a load of cash, you can't get more spiritual blessing. That's the beauty of being in Christ. The gospel works for everybody on the planet. First world, second world, third world, totally poor, very rich, doesn't matter. The gospel works for everybody. You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So what is the motivation for giving? I mean, we've discounted a whole lot. We've said, well, the law is not for us. Tithing is not for us. Pressure's not for us. Compulsion is not for us. Well, what's for us? 2 Corinthians maybe says it best. It says, you'll be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. What's the bottom line of giving? Well, you're going to be enriched. What does that mean? Well, you're just going to see that the support you gave was used in a tangible, meaningful way. How was it used? Well, hopefully to meet the needs of the saints. Hopefully so that people are thankful for it. Hopefully it causes them to turn to God and say, wow, the benefits of this ministry has really ministered to me personally. Praise God. Thank Jesus for this. These are reasons to give. So that Jesus can use what you've given because he's motivated you to give. And if it's gospel-centered and Jesus-centered and people are benefiting from it and you're benefiting from it, all of that's good stuff. I mean, all of that is normal New Testament living type stuff. So a summary then, we've seen tithing is not a New Testament concept. Tithing was to support the Levites. When we say tithing, we mean giving 10%. We've also seen that New Testament giving is what? According to the need, according to what you have, no pressure, voluntarily, not reluctantly, and not under compulsion. You see all those? Man, they are the Paul, God, all the writers of the New Testament, they're going overboard to make sure you get this thing. And here's the bottom line of it. Give because you want to. And that's it. You don't have to. And that's it. So clear. Crystal clear. Don't put a pressure on yourself. But let Christ motivate you. Let Christ use your heart and use your mind to give as he motivates you. Conclusion, give because you want to. Give if and only if you can. And give because you see a need.